Before we start the second half, now this is our last time, as you heard earlier, hosting the VCME for the season. We are indeed a sort of long-standing radio show. We've interviewed almost 300 composers in the course of our history. We began in 1995 at WGDR and went online that September, making us the earliest new music program online. And we built kind of an audience for the interviews and the humor and David's essays. And we had a lot of fun doing it. And then we were surprised 5 years into the show when we won the ASCAP Deems Taylor Award that was presented at Lincoln Center back in 2000. And we thought, wow, that was fun. We liked that. So we kept doing the show for another 5 years. And did a huge final program called Composer Combat, in which we set out the rules for a composition and announced them online, and the composers had to deliver a piece, finished piece, 3 hours later by email, fax, any way they could get it to us, and we had an ensemble waiting to perform them live on the air that afternoon. And so we had a lot of fun doing that, and we sort of ended the show for a while. For a couple years we took off. We're now back online only, no longer on the air, online only, doing interviews of composers once again, and we've presented and archived all the performances of the VCME that we hosted this year. So that's been our role this year. We've had a great deal of fun doing it.
And now we have another composer to interview.
Yes, we do. And we'll have the performer of that composer's piece join us.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Who's interviewing whom? What?
Yes.
Yes.
Come right over.
I'll speak up.
And you can do the interview.
What is the basis for this composition?
Acme.
What
Terminal
is the
Bug.
Basis?
What
for
is the basis?
Are you asking me?
I understand there's something about a dream.
Okay, yes, I will admit, it is indeed my piece. And
it occurred to you in a dream.
It might have. This was part of a project I did in 2007 called We Are All Mozart, in which I sought to get a piece commissioned for every day of the year. I didn't succeed at that, but I did succeed in getting 100 commissions, one of which was from Larry Reed, and I started working on it based on a chorale that I kind of imagined, and that was actually, and you don't know this, but also I plundered a little bit of a piece I also wrote for the VCME called New Granite for this chorale.
I knew that.
You knew that. You could see my plundering. And so I wrote the chorale, and then I wanted to develop that as a solo piece in which all the voices of the chorale were having this sort of chatter with each other. And I wrote a piece that was pretty close to impossible to play. That was Metadream Once. And so I realized that was a little bit not only hard to play, but sort of unlistenable. So I wrote a second one, a much more rounded piece. Still difficult, still a big conversation with an instrumentalist, with him or herself in this case.
That's funny. I'm trying to play it as if I were asleep. And I haven't got it yet where I can play it in my sleep. But it's coming. It's getting better. Because there are all of these voices on one instrument. Do you know that it looks to me as if you've outdone Bach in terms of the polyphony for a non-polyphonic instrument?
Sure, I thought you were going to say children.
No. Well,
okay, so
how many pieces did you compose in that year?
Yes, 100. Actually, 107, because 7 weren't commissioned. But here's the chorale, just so you all have an idea of the source material for this solo violin piece. This is an electronic rendition of it, but you'll get the idea.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. But I don't have the sustaining pedal on this.
Exactly so. So without the sustaining pedal,
he has to keep doing this.
Yes. Shall we hear it?
It'll sound completely different.
Thank you.
yes,
join again, because this is your piece coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that.
Well, there's a lot in the program.
But what is not in the program notes is something that I discovered about the architecture, that the title, the words and the letters in the title also spell conga theorist. And I think that plays with your architecture, would you say? Don't you feel there's a conga theme that permeates the piece?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I've been looking to find it.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe at the end. You think it runs all the way through?
Maybe during the intermission.
Okay. All right. Well, there is a break in there, but after the first large part.
Now, your wife, Evelyn.
Yes.
Also a extraordinary musician, pointed out to me that this is a broadly romantic piece of music in places. What happened to you?
The truth will out, right? I don't know. The world changes, you know? Things are different now.
Well, this is important. Yes, seriously.
I have become very interested to see what can be done to find a way to use what I call a harmonic underpinning that's natural in sound in a way that's not the same as what was done in the so-called tonal period. And in other words, to use sounds that sound as if they could have been made in the 19th century, tonal sounds, and even melodic lines that one could sing back and even remember. The difference is that, unlike a traditional tonal piece that's very symmetrical, almost nothing ever happens the same way again, twice. There's never any real repetition. And so that's one of the difficulties. If there are difficulties in my piece, you'll find that especially in the second part, there's that long section that I call a meditation, where the piano does nothing but play eighth notes, and it goes on for quite some time. And there are little fragments that one could sing in that sound tonal, and one is, the listener is never sure whether this is the result, the product of a mechanical, inhuman process or of a subjective, expressive outpouring. And I enjoy working with that dichotomy, that ambiguity, And that's a simple version, but all of the music that Dennis said, well, it's romantic again. Yeah, it is, oftentimes seems to be very melodic. There's a lot of lying, which is why I say to sing. There is an attempt to sing in the old-fashioned way, but there's no real sense of movement towards a goal, towards a conclusion, which is what you find in earlier music. I should keep going this way.
Well,
but I mean, I've thought a lot about this, and I guess that's what fascinates me more than just the idea of saying, well, I'm going to make a tonal piece, but to try to recreate some of the past tradition, but in a new and refreshing way. And I don't think I'm the only one doing this. You know, we're all, I mean, look at the chorale that Dennis wrote. That's the same problem there. And some of the pieces that you've heard from David that have had these so-called tonal effects, and yet if you really listen carefully to what's going on there, it's quite different from anything that you would hear even in the middle of the 20th century.
Absolutely,
this is that's the last century. This is the 21st century, so I have to get off.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, lecture.
You'll love the piece. And just to remind you, do join us at the end of the concert for the reception. It'll be fun, and you'll get to antagonize the performers and pigeonhole the composers and say, why did you do that?
Thank you. Thank you.
That's it for us for this season, and we'll see you next time from that side of the stage. Join us at the reception, and you're listening to Calvos and Damien in the house on the Non-Pop International Network.